In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And welcome to the Magical Talking Hat, the new podcast where, as our special this week, every listener gets a free Amazon Kindle. Yes, you get a Kindle, and you get a Kindle. And the hilarious part is I'm actually pointing while I'm doing this.
Yeah.
As though they could see. I'm pointing at the mic.
The mic gets a Kindle.
Exactly. You get a Kindle. The rest of you, fuck off. Anyway, welcome to episode...
10.
10! Oh my goodness, we're in double digits now. We're so grown up and things.
Yep.
And hopefully the feed will have all that. I had some feed troubles earlier this week, but they went away on their own, which was awesome. At some point, FeedBurner is going to stop putting up all the episodes and just put the most recent ones, I think. And I don't like that, but I haven't found a way around that yet without spending more money, which I can't really afford to do. So.
Well, I thought that was the whole purpose in changing everything we changed, so that that wouldn't happen.
No, that is so that we have a place to actually put the episodes.
Oh.
All the episodes will still be available on the blog.
Oh, I see.
And if you subscribe, you'll still get each one. But theoretically, at a certain point, the quote-unquote feed will only show X number of the most recent episodes.
Right.
So that subscribers currently will be fine and all that. But if you subscribe now, you'll start at like episode 2 or whatever. And if you go to iTunes, it'll only have that point. We're not there yet. Right now, it's still showing all episodes, but apparently at a certain point, FeedBurner cuts off the size of the feed or something.
I see.
I don't know. At this point, if you ever have any difficulties with that, always go to our website, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and all the episodes will be there. And if there's something wonky going on, it may be addressed there. Yeah, so episode 10, so we're a big kid now. I think the 10th podcast anniversary is paper, so.
Paper? You've got a little paper there.
Here you go.
You just gave me a little scrap of paper.
My gift to you. I was going to give you the rest, but I wrote shit on it.
I didn't get you anything.
That's because you've never really loved me.
Oh.
I'm okay with that, though. You're pretty, so I keep you around anyway.
Unrequited.
Yes. So, how was your week, William?
My week was kind of a bummer, really.
Not so productive, huh?
Well, it was productive enough, but, you know, I actually extended my deadline a little bit, which I tend to not... I don't like to do that, because usually that's something a person does when... You know, they're not really going to hold their feet to the fire. But I realized that I was a little ambitious in thinking I could get everything done by the end of the month. So I moved my deadline back a little bit. And I still feel confident that I'm going to get it done. But then I find out...
Yes?
...that Saturday is, like, the end of the world. And there's no way I can There's no way I can get it done before Saturday.
Now, who said this one? I'm losing track. We've got, like, 4 apocalypses this year.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
just knew about this one.
And the Mayan one. The Mayan one's
like... Oh,
that's
like, 2012. That's in December even.
Well, okay. Then, yes, sorry. But no, but there's more coming up. And I don't remember whose this one is. Trish mentioned it earlier today. I read about it at some point.
Well, my understanding is the person that predicted this one also predicted one earlier that didn't happen. And now they're saying, oh, yeah, I made a big mistake in the calculations and it's...
Didn't carry the one.
Or something.
I calculated the apocalypse in base 12, and I meant to do it in base 10.
So I thought, you know, I kind of thought, well, you know, what's the point? But I worked anyway because you never know. Maybe it won't happen. And someone also told me that it's supposed to be the rapture, which means not everyone is really going to be affected. I think after the rapture, there's like 1,000 years for everybody that gets left behind. So I might still have time.
Yeah, but doesn't the sky catch fire or some shit during that time?
I don't know how the rapture works. To be left behind.
That time period is not a good time period.
Oh, well. So you're saying that, like, the grid will go down and I won't be able to use my computer? Is that what you're saying?
I think it specifically says in the Bible that the publishing industry will suffer.
During the 1,000 years.
Specifically, yes. Oh. Yes.
Well, but I'm publishing myself. Does that matter? Will my computer still work? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. How good has your computer led its life?
You think my computer's going to get raptured? That would be...
I don't know your computer, but it's your computer. So I'm assuming that, unlike mine, it has had very little porn on it.
No, yeah, that's right.
So maybe your computer... It is... To paraphrase Kirk Cameron, is your computer good enough to enter heaven?
Maybe it is. Well, wait, how do I know that I won't be?
You don't, but I do.
I won't be.
Trust me, yeah.
Oh.
You might as well have cement in your shoes.
Well, how do you
know?
You
ain't going nowhere.
How does anybody know this stuff?
I don't know about anybody else, just you.
Is it because I don't know? That means that it's not going to happen? Because only the people who know? Is that how it works?
So it's like children clapping their hands and Tinkerbell's still alive kind of thing?
I guess.
If you believe in the rapture, children, clap your hands. Ezzy, did you want to say something? Are you here? Is there a point? You just want to love on William?
Actually, okay. You know, I've read the Bible a few times. And
for fun.
And there's nothing about a rapture in that. I'm sorry.
It's probably in the Apocrypha.
No.
Oh, are you kidding? The Apocrypha has all sorts of fun stuff.
This whole rapture idea was...
Most of the angel stuff is in the Apocrypha.
I know, but this whole rapture thing is actually a fairly recent development in...
Where'd I put my damn water? There it is.
Christianity, and some guy sort of made it up. I even used to remember the guy's name. I think he wrote a book called the... I don't want to say what I think the title is, because it's probably all wrong. But it's not in there.
Welcome to this week's episode of William Half Remembers Something and Then Doesn't Remember It and Gives Up.
But there's... If you ask
William
anybody,
Half Remembers Something!
Actually, I went...
Gives up and then gives up!
I actually went to the website where the people predicting the apocalypse on Saturday talk about how they came up with this, and it is the most convoluted... I mean, it looks like the ramblings of a madman. I don't know how anyone could possibly believe it.
By definition, I mean...
Well, no, there are... There are ways that it could be presented or calculated or whatever that you could say, yeah, I guess I can see that. It's misguided and they're forgetting a few things.
But it's not actually batshit crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And
this is one of those batshit crazy raptures.
Pretty much. But okay. The rapture idea in general, if you know anyone who believes in it, and please, I don't want to offend any of our listeners.
I think I may literally know of at least a couple of our listeners that may actually believe in the rapture.
Well, then you might.
But
have a few comments
I think
for that.
They also are used to me making fun of them for that. So,
well, you know, I've tried to find out from people because, again, I don't see it in the Bible anywhere. You know, where these beliefs come from, and they will quote scripture to me from the Bible, like one will be taken and one will be left behind and things.
Yeah, but what translation are you reading?
It's not even about the translation. It's about, okay, and what was being talked about in that passage. You can't just give me a passage that says, you know, I can give you a passage that says, and you know, about stoning people or about anything, but you have to have a context for you to understand what that text is about. And as soon as I ask about the context, I just get another verse that says a similar thing. No context is ever elucidated because there isn't any. No place in the Bible does it say that there's going to be this secret rapture, sometimes what it's called, because it's just people disappearing. In Revelation, when it talks about Jesus returning, it's this huge thing with trumpets and, you know, like you said, the sky catches fire, all this stuff happens. There's no mention of anything where there's any kind of return or supernatural or heavenly event where certain people disappear and the other people go, gosh, where did they all go? It's just not in there. And every verse that people will give you about it is like a tiny little verse in a larger context. And if you read the larger context, the verse doesn't have anything to do with it.
It's like those 8 spiders you swallow when you're asleep. In the larger context, it's like, so the Bible says, here'd be a funny story, but it's totally not going to happen. people get sucked up and then...
Well, I wish I could think of other examples, but, you know...
I don't, because then this would become the magical talking Bible study.
Well, that's right. But I'm just saying, even if you're not Christian, you don't believe in any of this stuff, if you just read the text, you're just not going to see it there. And if someone says, oh, it's in this text, and you look at it, you won't see it in that text either.
Even if you're not Christian, you won't believe in the rapture?
I mean, you won't believe that the Bible... So. You won't believe that the Bible teaches it, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's... The Bible doesn't teach you to always eat your hot dog with a bun. It's just not in there.
No, but the Principia Discordia,
yes,
however...
they do. That's
no,
right.
Teaches you to not.
No, that's right. But yes. But that once a year you do eat it with a bun because you're supposed to.
Yes, except for the hot dog heretics. Oh, my God. I went to college with Discordians. I actually celebrated the holiday of Aftermath one year. And... You can't, I bet, even say this. You've read the Bible many times. Have you read the Illuminatus trilogy?
No.
Holy shit, you should get a badge after you read that, motherfucker. Oh, that thing is impressive, and I've read that whole thing, and holy crap. And it wasn't even, like, it was disturbing when I started. It got much more disturbing when I suddenly realized I was actually following and understanding it at that point. Wow. It's like the Lord of the Rings written by Discordians. Holy shit.
Discordians are an interesting bunch.
Yes, they are. By definition, sort of.
Yeah. Although, I think a person who has a proper understanding of the religion, though, realizes that...
They were just kidding?
Well, yes, but also that there's a point being made here that really all religion is like this, or that's their opinion. You know, you're seeing patterns in everything, and that's what all religions do, according to them, is you're ascribing meaning to things.
We interrupt this
that
explanation
really...
for somebody passing by outside with a really loud bass woofer in their car. So if you heard that, that's what that was about. I'm sorry, go back to your explanation of the Family Guy of religions.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. You have to explain these things going on outside so people know it's not like us, right? Or
exactly.
Stomachs growling.
Exactly.
But yeah, so I don't know. Anyway, as I said, there are certain things that I think we can all agree, anyone who has actually read the Bible, that the Bible doesn't address. And I think the rapture is one of those things, even though we don't all agree on that for some
yes.
reason.
William frequently thinks we can all agree on stuff that we can't all agree on. Part of why William's all by himself.
Well, I don't think everyone needs to agree about everything, of course. It's just, you know, there are some things that are not a matter of opinion, really. And I don't understand why we can't agree on those things.
Because people are stupid, William. As he said for the 8 millionth time. Any of you who ever meet William, keep that line handy.
I know people are not stupid. I know they're not.
But they are.
But they're not.
They are. Some of them aren't, but some of them really are. A lot of them. More than you give credit to.
Okay, well.
You overestimate humanity.
I don't think I do. I think that there are issues that people have that prevent them from coming to reasonable conclusions about things, and that those issues can be addressed, and they can be overcome.
Are you going to break into that final speech by Superman's dad in a minute here?
No. That's funny you should say that, because I was just thinking about that.
I was just thinking about it listening to you. They are siding with...
Well, I think that a lot of the issues that people deal with today, especially in the West, come from a culture that we have fostered over here that, you know, if this culture didn't exist and I was a mad scientist that wanted to create a culture that would create a bunch of mentally ill people, this is the culture that I would create, this one. Trying to get people to believe contradictory things and, I don't know, it's like designed to drive people crazy. And it is kind of, because when you think about it, the... Corporations, they want people to be crazy, right? I mean, they want you to sit there and worry about the deodorant you're using. They want you to sit there and think that you're not going to get a girlfriend if you don't drive this car. all notions that are perfectly insane. Everyone would agree with me on that one, I think, in a conversation. But this is what corporations want you to think, and they must have some success at it because they spend millions of dollars a year, any given corporation, on these commercials that, you know, for them to work, they would have to presume that their audience is a little bit crazy.
Or stupid.
They're not stupid. People do stupid things, but that doesn't mean they're stupid. It just means that, you know, there's a problem there that can be addressed, and they can move on with their lives and be happier and healthier. Don't you believe that? Or do you think that everything's just going to hell?
Why do you think I'm not having kids?
I don't know. I can't help it. It's just the way I was taught to be, I guess.
That's our William. Wah, wah, wah.
Shut up.
Okay.
Talk about your week.
Hey, how polite of you. I wrote down my week on here. Let me see. I found out that the Magical Talking Hat apparently doesn't like Google Chrome.
Yeah, I saw a post.
Except for Mark's version of Google Chrome. Anyway, as I put on the podcast, those of you who try to access the domain and you're using Chrome, you may find trouble where it hangs. At this point, I haven't found a way around that, but if you're doing that, don't think that it's like your computer or your internet or whatever. Try a different browser and see if it works there. Because, like, personally, when I have to do maintenance stuff and admin stuff, at this point, I use Internet Explorer for it, and that's the only thing I use it for. So, literally, my homepage is themagicaltalkinghat.com, and I just open it just for that. But I did want to warn people about that. I will be looking into that as much as my busy schedule and lazy attitude will allow. So keep that in mind. I saw Priest.
Yeah, you said you were going to talk about it.
Oh, I did. It was a teaser on Facebook for my full review. what I want to know is if anybody like wasn't listening to the podcast and that little, they were like, oh my God, I got to find out all the details of what he thinks of Priest. I'm going to start listening.
Well, that's what I thought.
That would be awesome. So you're going to start listening?
I'm going to start listening to you right now.
Yes.
Now, Priest is what? Is it based on a comic book?
It is based on a series of graphic novels by somebody with an Asian last name.
And the premise is?
The premise is, it's another, the opening reminded me sort of Mutant Chronicles. It's an alternate history kind of deal.
Yeah.
Where as far back as recorded history goes, in addition to there being humans, there were vampires. And we call them vampires, I think, so we can make it a religious thing. They could just be called demons. I mean, they don't look like people with fangs. They look like these freakish monsters with no eyeballs and creepy stuff. But they're called vampires, and apparently humanity has been fighting them all the time, forever. And then they turned to the Catholic Church for help with this. And the Catholic Church tried to do shit and couldn't really do much. They built these big cities to hide everybody in. But then the Catholic Church trained / created / developed these group called the Priests. And they're super intense badass. They're all fast and can kill really well. And they get trained in specifically how to kill vampires. And so the priests went out and fucked shit up and won the war. And then we stuck vampires on reservations and then went back to our lives.
Reservations?
Yes, reservations.
But I thought they weren't, I thought they were like these little demon-y things. I
mean, they're these big demon-y things.
But why didn't they just wipe them out?
Because it would have been a shorter movie.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know. They didn't explain that. And so now we're living in basically post-apocalyptic sort of Mad Max meets 1984, but it's a Catholic 1984.
Hmm.
And this story involves a priest, or a former priest, because now, this is the other thing. So the war's over, and now all the priests get disbanded because the church is scared of this kick-ass fighting force they've created just standing around. So they disband them, and so all the priests like can't find any work to do, and they live in the slums all by themselves and are sad all the time and have like Vietnam-style flashbacks and shit.
So are there any other types of priests, or these are the priests?
The priest. A priest in this sense is a term for these freaky vampire hunter people.
So this...
Everybody else are clergy or father or monsignor and shit.
I see.
Yeah, so we work around that, yeah. I thought that was weird too, but...
okay.
But... Oh, and confessionals now are done in these automated computerized boxes and stuff.
It's of course.
But, yeah, this story involves a priest finding out that old people that he knew before he was a priest are in trouble, and it may be vampires, even though vampires are supposedly all on the reservations, and he wants to go investigate, but the church has issues with this, and hijinks ensue. And the new phrase I have coined for this movie is awesomely serviceable. Which, as Kirk pointed out, as he is like to do, sounds vaguely dirty. Which I didn't intend originally, but it kind of does.
Yeah, he said he wanted a t-shirt.
A t-shirt that said awesomely
actually,
serviceable.
Actually, he said, I need a t-shirt that says that.
He's got some really horrible t-shirts already, so. He really does. Oh my god. I'm amazed his wife lets him keep them. But no, it was very, very good for what it is. What it is every single dark sci-fi action movie cliche you've ever seen put together in the most straightforward, put your brain on cruise control, predictable plot you've ever heard of. That being said, it's done expertly. It's got great cinematography. It gives really great use of shot composition. The pacing is nice and fast. It's not too long. The action sequences are badass. The music is dramatic and awesome. There's lots of shots of motorcycles driving across salt flats. It's incredibly shallow, but very entertaining. Like, and it's got continuity issues and plot holes you could drive a truck through, like your standard. Take any popcorn-munching sci-fi action movie you've ever seen, and then up the production value, and that's what you got. So it's very good. It's not going to enrich your life at all, but it's very entertaining.
Yeah, I doubt I'll see it.
Maybe you see it later.
Maybe.
On a smaller screen.
Doubt it, but maybe.
Very cool.
The premise doesn't... It sounds... I don't even know why someone would come up with something like that.
I didn't so much have the urge to read the graphic novels, although it's a series of graphic novels, so maybe they get more involved. But I was like, the story was fine for an 87-minute action movie. I can't see the story being worth reading in a graphic novel.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, what's the point? I mean, what's... We're just... I don't get it.
Oh, it's the standard things of, you know, a soldier that society forgot, and now he has to go out for one more big fight.
Yeah, but why's
it
got to be a priest? What's the
Because it's all Catholic.
But why?
Because to go against the church is to go against God. Because that was the motif. The Catholic part's just the flavor.
That reminds me. As far as I know.
They just made this, I mean, it could have been 1984... just generic oppressive authority, but they thought it'd be cool. We get a lot of effect for that. We get robes, we get all sorts of weapons and shit that look like crosses. We get the angsty bit over going against the churches, going against God. We get a really cool tattoo on the priest in the shape of a cross.
That reminds me, I don't think the Pope is a big supporter of the whole rapture idea. I don't think. Now, I don't know about that for sure, I guess, but I don't think so.
He must be worried.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, are the Catholics going to get left behind in the... I shouldn't ask that question because I know a lot of people who would say, you know, yes, of course the Catholics are...
Oh, I know Catholics. I mean, I know people who... I know Christians who don't believe that Catholics are Christian. They consider it a different religion.
Well, just for the record, I don't have anything against Catholics at all.
Just for the record, I have as much against Catholics as I have against everyone else, which is quite a bit.
That's
so.
Right. Equal opportunity hater.
Yes.
That's Tony.
Fuck all y'all. but anyway. Yeah,
nor do I have anything against people who believe in the rapture. That's their thing.
But you do have something against shallow sci-fi action movies.
I guess.
And that's
just for me.
That's why we don't like you.
Okay.
Yeah, we're about 25 minutes in. Think we should pull out the hat?
Probably.
You think?
I mean, I think that's really why people listen. They don't want to hear us talk
about
our day.
Otherwise, we're going to have to change the name of the podcast.
That's right.
And I just bought that goddamn domain and spent way too much on it.
So. Yes, that's right.
Mix them up good. We got some new ones. We had a pretty good selection of emails this week. And not only a good selection of emails, but a good selection of emails from people that we haven't already gotten 8,000 from.
So
it's pretty cool this
did
week.
Did you just tell the hat to mix it up? I mean,
no, I meant you.
Well, I don't do anything. I just pull things out of the hat. It's not like...
Of course. I had forgotten our premise. I mean, the situation.
The hat does what the hat does.
The hat wants what it wants.
This is from Craig from Scotland.
Ooh!
I'm not going to try to... Do you want to read this with like a little bro?
No, wait. Could this be Craig Ferguson?
He's not in Scotland.
No, but he is from Scotland.
Yeah, but this... He's not
that
from there
now. That would be awesome if this was Craig Ferguson. I love you, Craig.
Okay. I think it's awesome
like
that
a
it
lot.
Comes...
I love you in both appropriate and inappropriate ways.
I think
I
it's
totally
awesome that it comes from Craig, who lives in Scotland.
That is true. That is true. This is another country to add to our list.
You're also awesome, Craig.
Yes. I don't necessarily love you in the same way I love Craig Ferguson, but really you should take comfort in that.
Yeah. And it's not personal.
Well, it's very personal.
Dear Hat.
That's
please,
us.
Please explain... the whole Renaissance Fair phenomena, such that a non-American, such as myself, or Craig in this case, can understand their appeal.
Well, Craig, Americans have to do what they can to compensate for the fact that we have no Morris dancers in this country, and Ren Fairs are just the closest we can come up with. I will be impressed if more than 5 people get that reference. But Craig and Stuart, at least, should be laughing right now. I don't know. What is the appeal of the Renaissance Fair? And I guess I didn't realize it was a wholly sort of American deal, which this implies.
Yes, I suppose I didn't know that either. I don't know. I think there is an element where... we live in a really young nation. I mean, it's not a young country. People have lived here for a very long time, and they had their own culture here and their own civilization that our ancestors, and by our I mean mine and yours and anyone else with European descent.
Yes, white men's rampage. Let's skip ahead, shall we?
Came in and sort of messed it up. But we don't have 600-year-old buildings. We don't have... You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We can't go to...
U.S.'s history is pretty short.
So, I think people do, without that heritage around us, some people like to... Because that's what Renaissance Fair is. It's you're reconstructing or trying to recreate, specifically, European medieval environment.
Yes.
It's not a Chinese medieval environment. It's not a Ugandan medieval environment. It's specifically a European medieval environment. And so it's obviously
Dude,
kind of a heritage thing.
I want to go to a Ugandan Renaissance Fair. That would be awesome. Do you think they have Scotch eggs at the Ugandan Renaissance Fair?
I don't know. I do wonder.
They have one in Pasadena.
I do wonder if... because a lot of people in Europe also ask things like, why are Americans so obsessed with their genealogies and with, oh yeah, I'm 50% British and 10% French. Why are Americans like that? Well, because that's what it's like for us. I think we have a sense that, in my genealogy, as a matter of fact, my family moved around a lot. Nobody was in one place for more than 2 generations. So,
because of scandal?
No, it's just, that's just what they did. So, you know,
I think it was because of scandal.
No, it wasn't because of scandal. I mean, there were scandals.
They'd
don't get me wrong.
A couple of generations, and then once again, babies were being born with only one leg, and everybody wondered why the Wright clan had all these spare legs sitting around in just the right shape for all the little babies. And then the patriarch would say, time to circle up the wagons, get out of here again. They've caught on to our scheme, stealing baby legs in the womb. That's what Wikipedia says.
Are you done? The point is, I don't know what it is. Is it some kind of ethnic guilt? Or is it just, is there some real phenomena where a person feels some kind of connection to where they're from? And if your family has only recently come to a place, you don't feel that connection? Or what? Or maybe it's just our culture turns things over so often, we can't sink our claws into anything, and so we keep having to make stuff up. Whereas in Europe, it's just all there. You don't even have to think about it. Your heritage is all around you all the time. You don't have to even care. You just know that your family's been in this one place for thousands of years.
And I think that's what a lot of it comes down to, is because Americans, unless they're talking about ancestors before they came to this country, can't generally or unless they're Native American, can't refer to their people per se.
Well, yeah, it's really hard to
we
do
can't
that.
I mean, you can say, you know, Americans are fat, lazy, stupid, whatever, but you can't say the American people as an ethnicity has had a history. You know, you don't, we're too young for that.
Yeah.
And so you want to do, oh, I come from the Celtic people, you know, and Norse people and stuff. And there's also, and I don't know if this is a particular American thing, but there's a tremendous amount of romanticism tied into medieval Western Europe. And I think there is some of that. People like being able to go and drink a lot of beer and sing body songs, and women can make boob shelves and get ogled. And, like, this is the one time when they don't have to feel weird about it or feel that it's making a hostile workplace or whatever.
Oh, so you're saying there's a little bit of that puritanical thing in our culture that might
yeah, there's
be
a certain
that.
There's a certain brand of hedonism that one can give into at a Renaissance fair.
Right, but also we have to recognize that that's something that's more accepted maybe other places besides the United States.
Well, or at other times.
Yeah.
I mean,
right now, though, I think that the United States, it's kind of ironic, really. We have so many people throughout the world that talk about how immoral we are. But the truth of the matter is, the United States, on the whole, is pretty uptight about nudity and sex and, you know.
On TV.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. But
no, that's the hilarious thing. If you look at the obscenity laws, everybody in the whole goddamn world, even the freaking Andrea Dworkinized Canadians, are more relaxed. Well, okay, maybe not in the Middle East, but all the Western world are more relaxed in terms of issues of like sex and things like that on television. Outside of television, when it comes to books, comic books, films, things like that, pretty much nobody beats the U.S. for that.
I suppose
that's a lot of countries out there don't allow hardcore pornography of any kind. That was really weird for me in Britain. In Britain, after 9 p.m., there's boobs on like every damn channel, and softcore sex from Canada on every channel for some reason, but there's literally no hardcore pornography. And if you buy a hardcore porn mag in a British news agents, they've put black dots over like the spots like that would show penetration and things like that. It's the same damn magazine, but there are black dots over that.
All right,
or so I have read. Not that I did that.
That's kind of a complicated, I guess. I'm not sure it gets to what
his face is so red, people. You just it's hilarious.
No, I'm just saying I want to stick to what he's asking here, because it seems like there's some kind of cultural something going on there. I don't know. Well, and here's another thing. Sociologically speaking, human beings are very tribalistic. I mean, they can't help it. It's what they do.
I'm not. And none of my people are either.
And I think people want to feel like, not so much that they have to belong to one single tribe that they're going to obsess about and say mine's better than yours or whatever, but to feel like they belong to at least one tribe or at least one thing. Most people belong to, you know, tribal units that overlap and everything, and that's actually the most healthy situation. But I think this sort of tribalistic impulse, sometimes people kind of turn that toward wanting to know where they came from and you know, where they really belong. And then, of course, there's a lot of dysfunction in families in the United States for a lot of different reasons, and so I think that people might be looking for replacements for things they didn't have in their families, and you get this complex mix of stuff together, and it does make its American culture sort of unique in how they gravitate toward things like Renaissance fairs and genealogy studies and things of that nature.
In other words, America, fuck yeah. Can we move on?
Okay. I think this is a really excellent question,
though. Absolutely. So do I, and I'm bored with it.
I think I want to write a book about it.
After the recording.
Okay.
Come on. This is after the rapture. This may be one of the only podcasts left for people to listen to.
But you just said the computers won't work and the electricity will be gone.
I never said the electricity will go. I said your computer may be taken away. My computer will totally be left behind.
Oh, okay.
Holy crap. And other podcasts might be spirited away for not being terrible.
Well, yeah, but ours is awful.
I know. Okay. We might be the only entertainment, however humble, left for those left behind. So we have a job to do.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
What?
Tonight is the night for Brits asking questions about Americans.
And we're not very typical Americans, so I don't know if we're even qualified to answer these questions. We should just make stuff up. They're not going to know.
Dude, have you not been making stuff up?
No.
That's all I do is make.
Okay, I'll think about it.
Okay. Dear Hat, why are Americans more interested in the royal family than the people over whom they rule? Which I take to mean than the actual Brits with the royal family.
Or whoever.
Yours, Stuart. Oh, it's my Stuart. Okay.
You have a Stuart.
I have my own Stuart. His first name, my Stuart has a first name. It's Stuart. My Stuart has a last name. It's freaking Welsh, so I can't spell it, but it has five Y's in it.
I have some Welsh. Did I said that last time we...
In your basement?
In my genealogy. Oh, I see. Owens and Joneses and...
Okay, for those who can't see this audio podcast, which would be everyone, when William said he had some Welsh in his genealogy, he indicated a direction with his thumb. Apparently, his genealogy is over that way.
It is. It's on my computer back home. That's what I was gesturing to.
That's where
computer.
I keep my genealogy.
It is.
Oh, crap. I left my genealogy in my other pants. If you know what I mean. Okay. Why are Americans so obsessed with the royal family?
Well, but are they? I mean,
it has to
is
do...
that true, do you think? That?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Well, I don't know that we are more obsessed. I don't know that the demographic of Americans that is obsessed with the royal family is any more obsessed than the demographic of Brits that are obsessed with the royal family.
But there are more people obsessed over here. Or more interested.
I don't know about that.
Why are Americans more interested? I think it relates to the Renaissance Fair thing because it's like, oh, look, there's a real live Renaissance Fair going on our television right now.
I think it has to do with the lack of Morris dancers in this country. And you can help. For just 40 cents a day, you can teach a child to wear fake lederhosen and a stupid-looking hat and jump... No, sorry. I think that Americans don't know what to do with the Brits. In our head, Americans like to... One head. The Americans have a collective head. underneath Donald Trump's wig. And in our head, I think Americans like to think of Brits as sort of the same as us, but with cooler accent. But in reality, I've always found Britain to be an incredibly unique socio-political situation. The best example I can always give is V for Vendetta. The graphic novel in particular, not the movie. That couldn't be set anywhere but Britain. It wouldn't work right. Britain has this weird democratic socialist monarchy. And I know there are other places that have democratic socialist monarchy, but it's just special in Britain. It's this very weird, unique sense of sort of iconoclast combined with the welfare state and this sort of uber patriotism combined with this intense cynicism and this, you know, monarchy that, at least by certain populations, is, I mean, this monarchy that's not going away. So far, the people haven't managed to make out. It's not like the monarchy is stopping the monarchy from being abolished, but at the same time is constantly lampooned and made fun of. I don't think you can achieve that in other countries, and I think the Americans, considering the Brits their closest cousins, have sort of a fascination with that, even if it's not articulatable.
Yeah, well, Stuart, correct me if I'm wrong about this.
He can't. He's not on the podcast.
He can on the blog, though.
Oh, okay.
Because he did the tea thing, so I know that he is willing to make comments.
Stuart, correct him.
If I'm wrong, but I think...
Do it now. Pause the podcast, go right on the blog, come back.
I think that this is probably motivated by everyone's interest in the wedding, and to me that's a whole different thing. I don't think Americans are particularly interested in the royal family until one of them's getting married, you know, and there's going to see a beautiful dress and a fancy carriage and all this other stuff. I think Americans are... I think they feel like they're watching a live action Disney movie or something, and it's really as simple as that. I don't think otherwise. Americans are particularly interested in the royal family, whether or not they should be. But that's just. I mean, you have an interest in things going over there for all the reasons you just said, but I don't think the typical American, because you're not typical American.
So Stuart William thinks your question sucks.
No, it's an excellent question, but I think it.
He's lying now. Remember, he was going to start making stuff up.
I'm not making anything up. I think it's motivated by the interest in the wedding, and I think that's a very different thing than interest in the royal family in general.
Well, I mean, it's all the pomp and circumstance. We don't have that. I mean, we sort of have that when there's presidential things, but we don't have the same thing, and we don't have the, you know, oh, they have to open the door on the left-hand side with one foot because that's the way it's done for the last 400 years or all shit like that. And so we think you're all freaks over there, and we just want to look at the freaks. Also, William says he doesn't make anything up, so apparently his books are nonfiction. In which case, I have a lot of things to warn you people about. Did that answer your question, Stuart? Oh, wait, he paused it. Stuart, come back. Come back, Stuart. We're going to move on.
Well, I'd be
you can write that later.
I'd be interested to know from Craig and Stuart if anything we said helped them out, because I think these are good questions.
The day we help people out,
I mean,
I'm quitting.
Answered their question, because I think they're good questions.
The day we actually answer someone's question, I'm quitting. Okay.
You know, I try really hard to answer people's questions.
And I find that hilarious.
Okay, so what if I actually do? Then you're quitting?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's a fine line you're walking.
So you're saying...
Dairy Queen.
Just never mind. Should I draw something else out of the hat?
Oh, it's your turn, isn't it? Okay, we got time for another one.
We talked too long at the beginning, and now we only have time
we
for
talked
three.
Too long at the beginning and the middle.
But the middle, we're supposed to talk a lot. About things
that?
That people tell us to talk about. I'm just trying to... Oh, you can... Should I... Oh.
Is it him?
Mm-hmm. Don't God be mad. Don't be mad. I'm glad that he's submitting so many questions.
I would just like to say, in this troubled times, depressed economy, difficulty in maintaining a successful podcast, wondering if my butt looks too big in certain pants. In this difficult, uncertain American culture, I take solace in the fact that, Azure Talon, I fucking hate you.
He doesn't.
I kind of do. I talked to him this morning, and I kind of told him that. I didn't. Actually, he's got this weird plan where he's going to cater for us to go to his house and record. It's weird. But all the guys, there's several listeners from the Quad Cities, which for those of you who don't know, is like an hour from where William and I are. And they all kind of want to be on the podcast, and so we may have to road trip over there.
Hey, that would be great. That's a great idea.
I think that's part of the plan. I mean, having extra guests on this show has to do with needing a good recording space, and that might work if we can find a time where your ass is free and my ass is free and then drive over there. But we'll have to figure that out. Okay, so read Blue Claw's damn question.
He asks if the Talking Hat has ever had a board game ruin a relationship. Which, of course, the Talking Hat has never.
No.
That's never happened for the Talking Hat, but I suppose he really means, have you or I ever?
I feel like I've seen it happen. I feel like I've played in a board game where other people's relationships were ruined while I was there. Oddly enough, not because of me.
Mm. Well, I think our relationship was ruined by a board game.
I thought our relationship was ruined by a podcast.
Well, before that, there was the board game.
Which one?
That one time we played Sorry, and
I wasn't.
I was all the time. Yes. Just kept sending me back, and after a while,
and I never said sorry.
You never did. To, and it kind of hurt my feelings. And actually, I've never talked about it until right now.
You having a breakthrough?
I think I am. Yeah. No, I've never had.
Also, I would never let you be the damn top hat in Monopoly.
I've never had a board game ruin a relationship.
What's your favorite piece in Monopoly?
I don't think I have one.
That's un-American.
I know. It's probably one of those deals where I realized that everyone else had a favorite one, so I thought the best strategy to make sure everybody was happy when they were playing Monopoly would be to not have a preference myself so I could take the one that nobody else wanted.
You just took one of those peg-headed people from the Life game, but you didn't have a car, so it just, like, fell over. So it was just, like, this little tiny piece of plastic sitting on its side, and you're like, I'll be that.
Sure, whatever. I'm a Monopoly piece martyr, is what I am.
Yes. Oh, so people are like, what piece do you want? And then you died? I like the dog. I like the dog.
That's okay. I'll just take the piece that nobody wants.
I don't need it. You want to buy that property? No, I think somebody else wants it.
That's all right.
I'll go to jail for you.
Because the key is, you know, if someone else is going to win besides you, make them feel bad about it.
That is pretty close to my life philosophy. Unfortunately, I've discovered that everyone else is winning except me. Me and Charlie Sheen are the only ones not winning.
But he's by winning. That's what he said.
I think that means he also likes dudes.
Why are we talking about him? Why did you bring him up? Listeners can bring him up. That's okay. Their privilege. They can do that.
Have
not
you ever witnessed a board game ruin a relationship?
I've seen people who are dating or married, you know, get testy with one another over a game. Yeah. But ruin a relationship, I don't think
so. Trish and I don't do... Well, we can do board games now, but, like, we can't do competitive video games.
Like, against each other?
Yeah. And it's not even that it gets really ugly, but, like, if we play against each other, we're never exactly the same skill. One's always a little bit better than the other one. And so then that one likes the game, and they play it more, and they practice more, and the other one doesn't like it and plays it less and gets worse. And so the disparity gets bigger, and then it's over. So we play a lot of cooperative games. No, I haven't seen that. I suppose with a particularly tall Jenga tower, a relationship could be ended if you're standing in the wrong place. Or, lawn darts.
Oh, my goodness.
Lawn darts could totally end a relationship.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's probably
in fact,
happened.
That might be a good breakup technique.
You shouldn't say that kind of... never mind that he said that. We're not responsible for any...
Don't.
Look what you did.
The Magical Talking Hat podcast is not responsible for any lawn darts that your soon-to-be ex shoves in your eye.
Or whatever that happens with lawn darts. We don't You know what? Are they even legal anymore?
No, they make stupid ones now. They make these weird, blunted, weird ones made that, like, float. They're hard to explain, but they have safety lawn darts now. Which is so annoying, because when we were a kid, that was what made you, like, grow up. But I do want to say, honey, if he wants to play a lawn dart game where he says, I'll throw it as high as I can and you try and catch it, he's just not that into you.
Yeah, that's probably a good... Good advice.
Yes.
To make up for the bad advice you gave just a second ago about lawn darts.
Also, set fires on babies.
No. Do we have it time to draw another one? Or...
No.
Curses.
He hates ending on Azure Talon.
Well, I just like to... I should really censor myself more at the beginning. I shouldn't. Just drone on and on and on.
I do feel that in general, what people have said is that you talk too much and that I can hardly get a word in. That's been the main complaint.
Right.
So you should let us all know. Send us some feedback or go to the blog. Blog's been busy. Blog is nice. If the blog is busy enough, someday we might have to open some forums. I think my next step is to start a Facebook page. I'm still thinking about that. It's on my list, but I don't move very fast on my list.
But we want to thank Azure Talon, Stuart, and Craig, all three of you guys, for submitting questions to the hat, and we encourage everyone else to do it too, because it's just fun.
It is, and it makes you control at least part of the content. Not necessarily the Monopoly piece lawn dart portion.
Right,
but...
or the portion where I half remember something and then give up.
Yes, or the rapture. Because nobody controls the rapture. Do you have anything you want to plug? Ever?
The only stuff I plug is my stuff, and I sometimes feel a little bit...
You need more stuff.
I do. Hopefully, when the novel gets done, I'll be doing a lot of different projects. But I don't know. We'll see.
He's going to be in some art films.
No, probably not.
He's going to reboot Lost because he's decided it's time. I would like to make a broad plug here. I would like to make a plug for podcasts as a whole. People, in this privileged Western society, we have many comforts. But meanwhile, all across the globe, there are podcasts without enough to eat or drink. And you can help them. Could you say no to this podcast? Sorry, that's not what I meant to say. But I have a feeling that a decent chunk, possibly even the majority of our listeners, aren't traditionally podcast listeners that haven't listened to many podcasts besides ours. Because mostly it was our friends and stuff. And some of our friends do, but a lot of our friends don't. And so I would like to say that besides this podcast, which is, of course, is a terrible podcast, but you listen and that's very kind of you. But outside of this one, there are so many podcasts about every topic imaginable. Like, pretty much, if you have an interest... there's a podcast for it. There are podcasts about politics. There are podcasts about books. There are podcasts about specific movies or TV shows. There are podcasts on cooking. There are podcasts on technology. There are podcasts about comic books. There are podcasts about video games, specific video games or video games in general. Podcasts, you have a celebrity you like? Check, they may have their own podcast. There's tons of those. There's interview podcasts that are far more interesting than ours. Because we don't really interview anyone. There are comedy podcasts. There are drama podcasts. There are how-to podcasts. There are podcasts that teach you how to speak a foreign language. There are dirty podcasts out there. Mostly of the audio variety, but there are some of those. There are philosophical podcasts. There are all sorts of podcasts. And you really should do yourself a favor and go check some of them out.
Well, give people an idea of when's a good time in their day to listen to a podcast.
The best, most common one is on your drive to and from work. If you have a commute, it's a great time. At work sometimes, depending on what you do. Currently, I'm doing a lot of sort of tedious work where I'm filing and things like that, and so I just listen to podcasts while I'm waiting, or audiobooks. I finished the 6th Dresden Files book.
Or while you're exercising, maybe.
While you're exercising is a good time. Walking is a great time, because when you listen to music, yeah, it's fun for a while, but eventually, you know, you come back, oh God, I'm walking. When you're listening to a podcast or something, that can really distract you, and you can just walk forever.
In fact, this might be a good time to start maybe walking or an exercise program if you have something to listen to besides music.
Podcasts can help you lose weight. So what I'm going to do is, in the links, I'm going to put some sort of broader networks of podcasts or podcast sort of aggregators that I know of. The best, of course, ideally, is you go to iTunes. And iTunes, you can search on whatever you want, and it'll find podcasts for you. But for those of you who don't use iTunes, I know of some networks, and I know of some aggregators, and I'm going to put some of those up, see what you think. But just in general, do a little bit of searching for podcasts, and you can find some that will match whatever your particular interests are. And then you'll see how useless ours is, and you'll move on beyond us and outgrow us. And we'll be sad, but we'll say, go, little bird, it's time to fly. Leave the nest, or hat, and spread your wings, and watch out for that tree! No! Okay. Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, keep going that way. No, don't poop on the... Oh, God. Well, okay, fly. That's what we'll say.
We'll say exactly that.
Yes. So do that. I have a fun game to play. This is a game that I learned listening to Chris Hardwick on the Nerdist podcast, and he learned it from John Hodgman and Jonathan Colton, two wonderful men that you should learn more about. And it's a game, I don't know that the game has a name, but the game is you try and come up with movie titles that could be talking about people shitting.
What?
Movie titles that could just be like a euphemism or a descriptor for somebody taking a dump.
What are you talking about?
Like a river runs through it. Or
like real movie titles?
Yes, real movie titles.
Oh.
There Will Be Blood.
Oh my God. There's
a terrible one there. What is some other ones I'm thinking of? The Green Mile is a hell of a one there.
what? Where did you get
Harry this? And the Hendersons. There's see, another thing, they talked about like categories, and there were like when people come up with them, they tend to fall in certain categories, and there's like the blood category and the sort of diarrhea category, and then there's like the completely random category, so you don't actually know how it ties in kind of thing. But no, this is a game, and it's a terrible awesome game, because if you sit around with your friends and just try it for like a couple minutes, you will do it for like 3 hours and not stop.
It's really awful. So.
If I could get you to actually do it, I think you would. But the Incredible Hulk.
Well, of course, there's you know, there's part of my brain's working really hard on it, but I'm just not coming. I'm not coming with anything.
There we go.
Nothing. I got nothing.
Meatballs?
No. I didn't think of that. None of the ones you said I thought of.
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
God. You're just really entertaining yourself over here.
I'm serious. And those of you who are like with William, and they're like, oh my God, no. Try it. Sit down with your friends and make yourself do it. And you'll lose a day's worth of time and laugh hysterically and feel ashamed about it. But it's funny. So try it. It's awesome.
Okay. Maybe I'll think of some on the way home or something, and I'll think it's funny.
And then you'll crash the car.
Right now, it just
no. See, you're William.
Gross.
So it doesn't fall into. It's totally gross.
Well, it's not that I don't enjoy scatological humor on occasion. I don't know. It's maybe it's just the ones that you came up with that are really grossing me out.
I stole a lot of ones from references before, but
yeah.
The scatological humor that doesn't gross you out is the part that frightens me. Anyway, we should probably wrap it up now that we're onto the shitting jokes.
Okay.
Because really, that's the last impression that you want to leave people
with. Pretty
much,
yeah.
So that's what you want to remember. Please give us some feedback. Get involved in the Magical Talking Hat community, such as it is.
Oh, they're going to start posting movie titles now. Oh, God. Oh, no.
Don't send them into the hat as topics, or they will be removed. But yeah, if you want to go on to the blog, feel free. The blog is at themagicaltalkinghat.com. You can also email the blog with feedback. If you want to share your movie titles just with the hat and William and I, feel free. Maybe some really good ones. I will read them. No promises, though. If you want to email the hat with questions or topics, email the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And otherwise, yeah, that's about it. The phone is winging. This is serious. The phone is winging. Wonder Pets, go. That's really a time to leave. So anyway, I've been Tony.
And William.
I haven't been William. You've been William.
Well, I've been.
Anyway,
William.
Thank you very much, and please today. Disregard the last little over an hour and a minute. And that's all. Good night.
See you next week.
Next week we'll have the shit-themed movie episode.
Unless there's the apocalypse. Then.
Unless the rapture, yeah. Yes. We'll have the post-rapture wrap-up next week.
Right.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.